To call to order the Administrative Finance Committee meeting. Excuse me, we're going to start this meeting on February 11th, 2014. I'd like to recognize folks that have joined us at the table here, members of council, Councilmember Kilpatrick, Councilman Sheldon, Councilman Tackett, Councilman Penrose Hollins, Councilman Smiley, Councilmember Diller, Councilman Street has also joined us at the table. My aide, Brian Holleiter, is taking the minutes of the meeting today. I am Councilman John Cartier, chairing this Finance Committee meeting today. I'd like to begin with the agenda. Approval of the minutes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, minutes of the January 28th, 2014 Administrative Finance Committee meeting have been approved. Moving along on the agenda, consent calendar. We have nothing under consent calendar. Moving on to the next agenda item, other resolutions. Resolution 14-051, congratulating the Office of Finance for earning a Distinguished Budget Presentation Award for Newcastle County's Comprehensive Annual Budget Summary for 24 consecutive years. And I think it's an award that our county finance department, with its consistent performance and reporting, again, is an award recipient. And I got to say that whenever I'm working with our professionals in finance, they give us good information and work to keep the public informed, as well as members of council. So congratulations. I don't know if any other members of council would like to make any comment about that. Anybody? Well, Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I'll just piggyback on your comments somewhat here and just say that, you know, anytime that we have issues or concerns and we do address the Office of Finance, they're certainly there and they're a very knowledgeable group. And, you know, there are a couple really go-to people over there, you know, Denny Hartman and some of them over there that are just really knowledgeable and actually very influential in some legislation that I have coming up tonight that has been a long time in coming, but we're poised here tonight to make a precedent-setting move.
Excellent. And just for the record, that award, the Distinguished Budget Presentation Award is from the Government Finance Officers Association of the United States and Canada. Very good. Okay.
Across border.
Excellent. All right. Resolution 14-055, authorizing execution of 10 purchase order contracts for the Department of Community Services for library books and materials for various libraries in the amount of $49,144. And this is a regular exercise we go through here. We're updating and acquiring more materials for our libraries. I don't know if anybody would like to provide further detail about that.
Hi, Diana Brown, Community Services. You are correct that we do this throughout the year. We try to encumber as much of the funds as we can in the beginning of the fiscal year, but sometimes things cost a little bit more or less than we expected them to. Sure. So basically kind of housekeeping.
Councilman Tackett.
Mr. Chairman, I was just going to say point of order. We heard a rumor you're acting, gentlemen, so maybe the
that is correct.
Okay.
As of yesterday, I'm acting general manager, mm-hmm. and pleased to be here and with my great colleagues, Carrie and Eileen.
Okay. And just for the record, these library books and materials will benefit Woodlawn, Newark, Kirkwood, Hokesson, Brandywine 100, Bear Library. So, to the process of acquiring and updating our materials for our highly utilized library service in the county. Under ordinances, ordinance 14-012 to abate penalty on 18 Drexel Road, tax parcel number 06-106.00-382. Comment from the department, please.
This is similar to what we've seen in the past. Sorry, I forgot my paperwork. I'm not even sure. Is there a copy of the check attached?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Thank you, sir.
We had a few of these, as you had seen earlier, where the constituent writes a check out correctly up in the numerical area, where they're writing the amount out, they skip. This one here, the constituent had skipped $500. But what happens is, in fairness to the constituent, is they're sending in their payments in a timely manner up front. The amount's posted to the account. What happens in Treasury and that, even though it's in there and it's not fully paid, the balance, of course, is sitting out there. It doesn't come up until the delinquent bills go out.
Yes.
So obviously then the constituent gets the delinquent bill. This is a position, and I believe Councilman Smiley was drafting or was working on a piece of legislation that there's five areas.
It's a collaborative effort that Councilman Cartier has just agreed to take the lead on today because of some things I'm involved in that's occupying my time.
We're trying to get a piece added to the to our code that would allow for this.
And I'll make further comment about that very important idea and worthy idea under other part of the agenda. So I thank you for that. Moving along. Ordinance 14-015 to amend Newcastle County Code, Chapter 14, Finance and Taxation, Article 6, Exemption from Real Property Taxation, Section 1103, Filing Frequency regarding filing deadlines for the 65 or older and disability real property tax exemptions. Councilman Tackett, this is the groundbreaking piece.
Precedent-setting legislation that we have here before us this evening, and I don't even have a video camera for it, so I will proceed anyhow.
Later on tonight.
Yeah.
I have a cell phone.
Yeah.
Right to YouTube.
Yeah, what happened was is we had actually two situations in our district where apparently what happens is, you know, our exemptions are not dolled out 50%. So therefore, what was happening was is when the first person reached the 65, they were filing for the exemptions, and therefore the second senior in the relationship, when they turned 65, they seen no need to file the same paperwork because you can only get it one time. Well, what happened was in these two incidences was is that the person that had filed first ended up passing away and left the second one had never filed for the exemption.
Okay.
And they're not made aware, basically, that, you know, they were losing the exemption until they received the notice from finance, you know, that their taxes have now been escalated back up to full amount, which really sends them into shock after, you know, they're still in grieving and mourning the loss of, you know, their loved one. So with contacting finance, we found the code just did not allow for that exemption to just go ahead and be extended if they passed after the deadline. So what we've done here is drafted some legislation with the help of finance and review with Carol Dolan and a lot of work with my aide, Valerie, to propose this legislation that will allow the surviving senior in the house. It's still only one property, but it would allow them to be able to still apply even after the deadline and receive the exemption. So therefore, they're not being hit with another situation in their mourning and their loss and trying to deal with everything they have to deal with. This is just one thing that we are being able to help and extend back to our seniors. And as you see on here, it is no fiscal impact because it's monies that we wouldn't have been receiving anyhow. It's just doing the right thing and extending that to the surviving spouse, whether it be, as you see down here, we've added the verbiage at the end, just, you know, so they qualify. They still have to qualify. But, you know, it's the disabled, the seniors, the veterans, and then they'll have the 30 days from the notice of finance on their assessment. So,
okay. Comments from members of council. Councilman Smiley.
The only clarification I seek, and it could be covered in the broad term of meeting the qualifications, in order to benefit from this, would the home have to be in the in their name as well?
Yeah, you have to own the
because
property.
Because there are, I mean, there are married couples, but the spouse's name is not on the house because they got married after the one bought it.
Right.
So if their name is not on the house, on the deed, I mean, a lot of them say, and wife, left over from the earlier years before women got their rights and stuff.
Right.
So I guess, I don't know, is that clarified somewhere? I just don't want to see us up against that, you know what I mean, an appeal on that.
No, because what happens is...
Please identify yourself directly.
Mike Coop Finance, I forgot to let...
I mean, it's a good thing, I just...
So just say your name twice.
Right.
Trying to cut down appeals.
No, you're right, but usually when a person dies, then they transfer the title. That's where...
So if it's inherited...
But even if it's a spouse.
Right.
So that's where a lot of this would take place, is when a transfer is done, they drop... That's where the exemption was dropped off, and then the other person's transfer is picking up. But there's no notification from finance for... until the full settlement.
So as long as it's the spouse and they receive their home. Because I do know situations where they're the spouse, but their name wasn't on it, and then the deceased person actually left the home to a different family member.
Then they wouldn't be able
to. Okay.
Yeah, you have to be the owner.
Right, you have to be the owner.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that before you end up with an appeal on it.
Yeah.
We're sitting here going through that. Thank
you. Council Member Kilpatrick.
Thank you. How does that work if the house was in a trust?
They're not entitled.
The trust is a different animal. That was pointed out to me that, yes, the trust stays with it.
So if they choose to put it in that trust to protect it for tax purposes, let's say, or whatever, they'll not reap the benefits of the exemption. Because the trust is...
But the trust would go over to the spouse as an inheritance.
But it's owned in the name of the trust, not the spouse.
Oh,
so they would, as a trust, they would not have ever been able to get the exemption to begin with?
Right.
Nope. Mm. No, they have the... I was informed, yes, that...
Please identify yourself for the
record. Oh, I'm sorry.
Twice.
Mike Coop Finance. I told him I'm not used to this. It's three times. I was informed today that...
Keep on.
That it could go into the trust. And that's where you don't run into the problem of... be changed.
Because the trust
keeps the exemption
even upon the death of one of the people involved in the trust.
That's the way it was explained to me this morning.
Can I?
Councilman Smiley next.
Okay.
Is that still provided that a beneficiary of the trust meets the requirements?
Yes.
Because I see where I'm confused. I had someone putting in an LLC and that's where they lost it.
And that's where, you know, in the past there have been some, I know I've seen a couple of this past year, where the person inheriting the house obviously should not be getting exemption, and that's part of the problems with some of the ones that do, and that they continue on the exemption, and the person may only be 30 years old.
I've turned in three or four over the last year like that.
So it does have to be, you do have to be eligible.
Thanks.
I think a trust like that.
Councilman Hollins.
Yes, is the... does this make it retroactive for a senior who loses a spouse? And
not yet. So we're working on something. We were going to do that here, but Carol advised we need to... we'll be bringing that forward a little bit later.
The other question I have is, it also includes the disability exemption.
You can take it.
The disability exemption, it seems to me that where you may will often find that if it's going to... an inherited family member, that person's property isn't disabled. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
I think that's where you really have to be very careful about that happening.
What was it, Councilman? Now,
disability. If someone owns a property that's disabled, they get a disabled exemption.
Right.
And they were to pass away, the likelihood is that the next person probably does not qualify for the disability.
Right. Right. And that's what we had said in here. You have to qualify. So to apply for you have the 30 days, but you still have to qualify. So.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from members of council? This ordinance 14-015 enjoys the support of the finance department. It's a good piece of legislation, Councilman Tackett, especially given the fact that we are an aging county.
Yeah.
And these situations are likely to arise, you know, more and more as time goes on, and a good piece of work there. I think I look forward to supporting this evening. Any other comments, questions? All right, moving along. Ordinance 14-018, amend the grants budget, appropriate $500,000 from the Federal Home Loan Bank of Pittsburgh's Affordable Housing Program to the Route 9 Corridor Neighborhood Stabilization Project administered by Department of Community Services. Councilman Hollins.
Thank you. We talked about this at another meeting earlier. We also did a press release on this. Thanks again to Kara Casey for her hard work in making this happen. It's $500,000 going to the Route 9 Corridor, where the plan is to rehabilitate, resell 7 foreclosed homes in that corridor, part of the Neighborhood Stabilization Program. So we'll also be using NSP funds.
Very good project to aid stabilizing and renewing the Route 9 corridor neighborhoods. Any comments, questions from this council? Councilman Street.
Thank you.
Period. Oh, thank you. All right. So great to see the Route 9 corridor getting attention from this government, and I know deservedly so. And, you know, I think over time we're going to have a see a major renewal of that area and look forward to that. And I know we got a library in progress as well. So, good. Moving along on the agenda, under other Newcastle County grant requests. Okay, line my electronic device to catch up here. The people with the paper are ahead of me. Councilman Weiner, Brandywine High School After Prom Committee. Lou Hinkle will present his aid, will present this request, sir.
Thank you, sir.
You have the floor.
This request was submitted by the Brandywine High School After Prom Committee on behalf of the committee itself for the purposes of providing the students off roads in a safe environment for an after prom party. They're asking for $2,500, which Councilman Weiner has agreed to sponsor at request. They've met all the requirements under the rules of council. They have applied in the past and have been approved for 2 prior grants, all of the monies which were spent in the same fashion. We believe this is a very worthy cause in promoting safety for the kids after the prom. And as a result, Councilman Weiner, on behalf of Councilman Weiner, I ask that, since I'm unable to do so, that a council member, perhaps the chair, move forward with a request for the grant to be forwarded for consideration.
Yes, okay. I'd like to make a motion that we grant $2,500 to the Brandywine High School After Prom Committee.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Not voting.
One not voting. Your motion carries. Grant approved.
Thank you, sir.
We have no other grants to approve. A light agenda there today. Moving along, expense and revenue roundtable. I wanted to return to the discussion about abatement of tax penalties, and I wanted to inform members of council that I will be bringing forward an ordinance, and I'm quoting from a email written by our council, where a taxpayer writes a check with the correct amount written in the numeric value or in the numeric section of the check, and an incorrect amount in the written numeric value or numeric section of the check, and the incorrect amount is paid by the bank as long as the check is proven to have been submitted in the due date or received by the paragraph date as contemplated by Section B1. The penalty does not exceed $100, and the correct amount of underlying tax is paid within 90 calendar days of receipt of the incorrect amount from the bank. So I'd like to, and you know, I'm going to work on this further as I put it together, but to give our finance department a little administrative power that will allow them to take care of these situations. And it also will protect council in terms of fair treatment and of all of these type of situations. So what is the legal term for that?
Equal protection?
Equal protection of the law.
Equal protection of the law, so we avoid any issues with that. And, you know, I think it'll be a thing that, you know, be a good service to the citizens who are making a, you know, sincere effort to pay their taxes on time and so forth. You've got to allow for human error. So I'm going to be working on that, bringing that forward. So, Councilman Tackett.
Mr. Chairman, just a couple things come to mind quickly, but I guess you would have a certain date in there as to by the time it was presented to finance, they make the homeowner aware of they have X amount of days in order to pay the full amount. And then two, you know, I guess it's not a egregious error. Let's say it's a $1,000 bill and they wrote the check for $100, or you know what I mean? It's a clear transposition of numbers or something like that, or, you know.
Well, I welcome any comments that you might have or ideas as we go forward and develop this ordinance. Councilman Smiley.
I'll just say, and John and I have had a discussion on this, the process and requirements should be, I believe, as at least myself I've used in the past, and that is that the individual would have to submit the documentation from the bank that shows when they sent the check they had the adequate amount of funds, and that throughout the time frame up to the end of the payment period they maintained a balance significant enough for that check to be good. Mm-hmm. So that would cut out the game play.
I also want to try to, you know,
good deal,
help people out, but we want to limit the amount of occurrences where people can, you know, have this kind of problem. So I'll be working on that and getting it hopefully to council maybe in March for action, so we don't have these issues, you know, taking up a lot of our time, and we have the equal protection of all of our citizens in the county regarding this kind of matter. The other thing for expense and revenue roundtable, I don't know if other members of council had anything that they would like to bring up. Yes, Councilman Smiley.
I just have one quick one. I don't mean to be rude. It's not for discussion. This is merely for informational purposes. In the past, as part of our cost-saving measures, council ceased purchasing the individual bottles of water. I've been approached by several council members asking if we could purchase them again. Quite honestly, and I put this out there without any reservation at all, there were abuses on this floor related to that. But I've met with Holly. I asked Holly to order 20 cases of bottled water, pay for it out of my office fund. That way we don't need a big debate today, and we'll see how it works out. Come back to council later. We'll decide whether to have council begin purchasing them again or not. So that's merely informational. I didn't want to spend 2 hours on bottled water today. So that's the way we'll start it, and we'll see how it works out.
I know. We've got to fill up these cups somehow.
I'd like to recognize Councilman Bell has joined us in the room.
I have one other issue
I'd like to bring up under expense and revenue roundtable that I just would like the department to do some research on. When we had the ordinance for the workforce housing moratorium, it was reported to council by one of our county attorneys that the housing trust fund had only received $273. And, you know, I didn't feel that was accurate. Can it be that low? I'd just like the finance department, if you could get an inquiry into that and get a report back to us on the status of deposits, credits, and debits out of that housing trust fund. And this was established as part of the workforce housing legislation. As I recall, sort of a payment in lieu of concept. Am I correct, Councilman Hollins?
Yeah, we may have established the housing trust fund before workforce housing. Workforce housing was just part of the contribution to the housing trust fund. The idea was to have other contributions made to the housing trust fund. It's not just limited to workforce housing.
Okay, and the housing trust fund would be to provide funds to renovate and...
The housing trust fund would address those Newcastle County residents that are not necessarily buying homes. It would help to create apartments, renovations, and those kind of things where everyone is not going to qualify to purchase a home. So there are other areas where affordability is needed, and the housing trust fund would address that. The low-income people probably would not qualify for a mortgage would then benefit from the trust fund in partnership with other affordable housing entities that we oftentimes partner with through CDBG.
Okay. And this standalone fund, I'd just like this to actually get a history of the fund, if we could, please. Council Member Kilpatrick.
I think maybe you covered this in your last statement. maybe we, if we see the transactions that, where the money has gone into the fund, for what purpose? Like if it actually came, I mean, if there's only $247 in there from workforce housing, you know, do you see what I'm saying?
The entire fund balance.
Right.
And the accounting.
And where each line came from.
Yes.
Each deposit came from.
Thank you. Anything else for expense and revenue roundtable? Okay, moving on to other. Anybody want to bring up anything under other? Okay, moving along. Public comment. Anybody for the public like to make a comment for the good of the order or other concerns?
Motion to adjourn.
I'll make one.
Check. All right.
But you're not public. You have to wait till next damn meeting.
Would you like to, sir? Your privilege.
Mike Coop, Finance. Oh, back on the, just about the abatement on the penalty. I just want to say that on behalf of the, some of the citizens or constituents, from what I had seen is, you know, there is, most people are genuine and wanting to pay the bills. And you can really see it is, what I've noticed is our bills go out in July. They're due 3 months later. So, you know, there are some people that set these bills aside. And this here isn't even writing the checks incorrectly. But thinking about the people that set it aside and just forget about it. But as soon as someone gets that delinquent bill, including the bad checks, they're paying within a very short time frame. They're calling. That's how you know the people are really serious and genuinely did mean to pay. You know, that's what I just look at that and say, even a 3 month part, I still struggle with that back and forth. I know we set it out. I also know probably if we were sending out notices in September at the beginning saying these are due at the end of the month, maybe a lot of those people would be paying too. But here again, it's also only the people that are paying the tax bills themselves. It's not the banks, because the banks always, you know, they're fine. It's just that party constituent.
Yeah. That was Mr. Coop, our CFO. Councilman Smiley.
Mr. Coop, if that's a concern or something in the chair happening periodically, I know I get some bills that say, here's the due date, but it's not considered late until this date. So maybe we want to look at backing up the due date. I'm not saying extend out any longer, but back up the due date 2 weeks. Say instead of due the 30th, due the 15th, but not considered late till the 30th. So maybe you want to look at adjusting something that way.
Mike could get Finance. That would be a good idea, but the only thing I'm thinking about here, too, is the people aren't need a reminder. It's the reminder piece, too. But what you're saying is also correct, is I think
if... Yeah, but you're talking about spending more money for the reminder.
Yeah.
That's the only difficult part that I have with that,
so figure out what, how much of a tax increase it'll take to cover that, let me know.
No, that's...
Because we'll vote it down.
It could be cost prohibitive, but it is. But that's one thing that I run through my mind, and I was like, you know, I know there's a cost involved.
No, I understand.
But I also know that there's probably a select group of people out there. You know, it's not a large number. But I don't know, I just feel bad because I know I'm entering into that.
It's probably the ones with money, the ones without money.
Councilmember Kilpatrick and Councilman Tackett.
Thank you. Couple of things. If you want to do a reminder, I mean, we have a TV station. You know, there's things that don't cost us extra money that we are already funding that we could probably put the reminder through. The other thing was you, and this is for Mr. Coop, you mentioned before about it being posted on the website, like on ParcelView. What if we posted on their ParcelView, you know, that there was a problem with the check? So that somebody could go in and actually look at it beforehand and see that, oh my gosh, it really isn't paid. I mean, mine comes through a third party, you know, with mortgage, but I go on and see that by that date, is it actually paid? And then, you know, panic when it isn't because it hasn't all been sent in. But at least then there's some place that you yourself can go look and then call the department if you feel that there should be a problem and figure it out before they actually get penalized, because I think that we've had a lot of those. But that wasn't even my main question.
The main one's shorter.
Yeah.
Okay, we heard that sewer bills were going to go out on January 24th. Can we have an update on that? Was that not
my
the date?
My mother-in-law came yesterday.
Okay, because I haven't seen.
I believe they're out now.
Okay, because I haven't seen one, and I thought that was
mine,
a long time
hers
between
came yesterday.
The 24th and now.
I did just hear that, though. Sorry. I only heard it the other day, too. I knew it was going out, but I kind of put the sewer and the artesian kind of behind me. It's been a long year. you know, trying to move on, but I did hear that they're out. Someone had asked that the other day, and they are supposedly out. I haven't received mine yet, but I'm sure it'll probably all be in today's mail or tomorrow's mail.
Okay.
Before it snows.
I got Councilman Tackett and then Councilmember Diller.
Another situation we're kind of working on just because we're talking about this is, and some of you who have new construction may have found the same thing, but we had a couple of constituents who actually, generally when you have new construction, you get two bills from finance. One comes, I guess, on the actual, I guess, whatever value of maybe the first one's on the land, and then as soon as the CO, they get, actually end up having to get another one. Which comes a little bit later also, and it created some confusion, and one of the constituents actually had arrived late because the mortgage company didn't send it, but yet we still, it is what it is, but you know, obviously the penalty goes back to the homeowner, not the mortgage company, but.
Mike Coop, Finance, since a lot of this is new to me, I really don't have an answer for that, other than to say it sounds logical to me that it would be that way, that first off, of course, you'd be taxing the land until the house is officially completed and the CO is issued, then it would probably put on the tax roll. So I could see a duplicate. But I also would not feel that we should be penalizing people if it's not their fault.
Well, it's in it, but you just would wonder, why wouldn't you just back up, you know, and let's capture what you would have taxed them before, but still send the one bill, but say, you know, it's for this period of time instead of sending two different bills.
Well, I think what happens with some of these, same with these checks is, you know, we're dealing with a few hundred thousand constituents and bills, and that's why they're just, they cannot target one or two. It just, they're out there.
Well, when the economy returns and the housing boom resumes,
right. It's not to say that we shouldn't be looking into that. Mm-hmm. And I will take, you know, start looking into that, to have them look into it. I think it's good to work.
Councilmember Diller.
Yes, we had a question from constituent about the bills. The information we got is that they were mailed on Friday the 7th, but the due date has been extended to April 1st because of the situation with the artesian bills.
Okay. All right. Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Going back to Councilman Tackett's question, I mean, it's, I guess I wouldn't understand why we're even sending out two bills because it's one parcel number. Why wouldn't it just, why wouldn't the bill doesn't go out per parcel number?
That's why I'm like Chief Finance again. I believe, I'm just saying, I'm thinking that if the bills are going out July, it's going to go out with the land on it because the house has, if the CO hasn't come up yet.
Oh, I see. Okay.
In August.
Okay. Okay. So once it's finished, it comes
right,
okay.
Then that other one's coming out.
And you know we're really doing this because Ed's not here today.
Yeah.
So.
I appreciate it. I'm usually only going at night. That's why I actually, you know, kind of bounce back and forth. And but he had other commitments today, so I said I would try to fill in as best I could.
We can make you miserable.
Oh no, it's all in fun, I'm sure.
All right, we're under public comments still. I think we entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned.
I want to take a picture.